Hi, and welcome to MetaMagic.com podcast number 2. In this installment, we're going to be talking about a fairly recent discovery in neurosciences, which has a great deal of ramifications in the areas of magic, hypnosis, neurolinguistic programming, and life in general. In the 1980s, there was a team of researchers in Italy who were mapping monkey brains. They had monkeys wired up to various brain mapping equipment, and they would give the monkeys particular tasks, and they would see which areas of the brain were activated by these tasks. In one particular study, they were studying the motor areas of the brain, and the task they gave the monkey was a simple one that monkeys seem to like. They put a bowl of fruit in front of the monkey, and when the monkey reached out to pick up a banana, a particular area of the brain would light up. So they jotted down on their data sheets, you know, this is the area that lights up. This is the premotor area of the brain where when the monkey is about to pick something up, pick up banana, this area of the brain lights up. And they repeated this, and they had this fairly well established that this was the particular area of the brain that lit up when the monkey reached out to grab a banana. Now, during a break, the monkey was still wired up, and one of the researchers apparently got hungry and reached out to grab a banana for himself. And the monkey was watching, and lo and behold, the same area of the brain lit up when the monkey was just watching someone else, watching a human pick up a banana. The researchers were a little bit puzzled, so they repeated this again and again, and the same thing happened. When the monkey would watch a human or another monkey perform a task, the particular area of the brain, which usually lit up only when the monkey was performing the task, would light up when the monkey was just watching someone else perform the task. These neurons were dubbed mirror neurons, and just a few years back, these same neurons were identified in humans. Of course, we're just big monkeys, so why not? But the same thing happens in humans, and when we watch somebody else perform an activity, our own brains fire off the same set of neurons as if we were performing the activity ourselves. In effect, what happens is that we watch somebody else's behavior, and we build a little model of that behavior in our own mind, and we apply it to ourselves. Now, what's the purpose of this system? The original researchers and others have theorized that one of the main uses of this is simply in learning. Okay, we learn how to perform various actions and skills. We learn how to speak by seeing the way other people's lips move, and so on. However, there's a lot more to it. This goes a long way to explain such elusive qualities as rapport and empathy. Okay, when we watch somebody else, we build a little model in our own minds and apply it to ourselves, and in effect have some of the same feelings and the same experiences just watching somebody else. This goes a long way to explain why we humans like things like movies and spectator sports. Okay, when you're watching Star Wars and at the end Luke Skywalker blasts that Death Star out of the sky, well, you feel good because all along, all through those scenes of flying those fighters and everything, you were in a sense empathizing with Luke Skywalker, watching what he was doing and applying it to yourself. It builds a sense of excitement. This explains a lot of the phenomena of neurolinguistic programming and hypnosis. Way back when, Milton Erickson, one of the greatest hypnotists who ever lived, would use the mirror neuron systems in a number of very direct ways. One of his more famous ways, and there's videos of him doing this, is that when he had a subject who was not very experienced in hypnosis or who claimed that they could not be hypnotized or were in some way reticent to be hypnotized, he would have them watch him hypnotize somebody else. And invariably, they would go into a trance. Now, most people who practice hypnosis or do demonstrations have experienced this for themselves. If you demonstrate a hypnotic induction before a group, chances are a good part of the group is going to drop into trance as well. In neuro-linguistic programming, there's a whole lot of mirroring and matching skills that are taught to develop rapport. And the mirror neuron system seems to be at play in many of these skills and activities. Now, how does this apply to magic? It's most obvious in the context of group rituals, where you're working with other people and building up states of rapport among the group and developing powerful group experiences. But it's also subtly at work in invocation, where, for instance, you look at an image of a deity, and say you look at an image of the god Hermes, and Hermes is doing something in this image. He's performing his job of being a messenger or a scientist or whatever he's doing. And when you look at these images, you tend to build a little model in your brain and apply it to yourself. Okay, so by placing images or statues of various deities or even authority figures, religious figures, spiritual teachers, whatever, in appropriate places, on an altar, on a shrine, we're activating our mirror neuron system. Now, this can happen in a less direct way when we build images in our mind of things like, our perfected self, a future self, someone who's already accomplished a particular task, or when we evoke, when we take some aspect of ourselves and externalize it. One form of traditional evocation involved actually looking in a mirror, a special black mirror, which distorted the features a little bit, and you would go into a trance and look at this image of yourself, and it would begin to morph and take on characteristics of whatever you were evoking, the entity you were evoking. Now, the mirror neuron system seems to be very directly at play in a situation like that. Of course, you're using a mirror, but you're also emphasizing certain qualities in the image that you're looking at, with your imagination, with hypnosis, with whatever the particular ritual of evocation might suggest. And even when we start to get into some of like the classical demons out of the Keys of Solomon, which looked like grinning, slathering beasties of various sorts, they still had the human qualities, and they were often based on this self-image in the mirror or something brought out of ourselves. That's the whole idea of evocation. And placed in front of us so that we can look at it and activate our own mirror neuron systems. And even especially the kind of evocation that we begin with, the simple evocations in MetaMagic and the original, the first podcast that we did here, was an example of that. in which some aspect of yourself is metaphorically placed in front of you, an emotion that's represented as a color or a shape. Now, that color or shape still identifies characteristics of yourself and of a human in totality. So on a more subconscious or unconscious level, it's still a human figure that you're looking at, and the mirror neuron system again comes into play. Now, there's a lot of ways that this happens and a lot of very interesting ramifications of the mirror neuron system. If you're interested, a quick search online will turn up quite a bit of information about the mirror neuron system, and it's definitely a worthwhile thing to do because there's really quite a bit of ways to apply this in your life, and it's a very broad-reaching and powerful discovery. If you get involved in more meta magic and things like the Book of Exhilaration and Mastery or the Book of Atem, you'll find rituals that are designed very directly to activate the mirror neuron system, particularly in the Book of Exhilaration and Mastery. What I'm going to offer now is a little bit of a hypnotic induction that demonstrates self-use of the mirror neuron system, how to activate your own mirror neurons in just a few minutes in particular ways. Now, this is just a little demonstration of how this works. It's certainly far from being a complete magical ritual, but it's an element that can be applied to ritual in quite a few different ways. And again, I'll refer you to the other books of MetaMagic if you'd like to explore that more fully. Now, this is very simple, and you can do this wherever you are. Find a comfortable position to sit or lie down, and just let yourself relax for a moment. Just notice what happens as you take a deep breath and listen to my voice. Now, everybody has the ability to visualize. Some people visualize in different ways, and some people might be better at visualizing in detail than others. However you're able to visualize for this experiment will be just fine. Just as long as you know that what you're visualizing is an image of yourself. So go ahead. And with your eyes open or closed, whatever's easiest for you, see an image of yourself in front of you. This image could be sitting or standing or doing whatever it happens to be doing. And as you look at that image of yourself, check in for a moment with your own feelings. How do you feel right now? Maybe a little bit relaxed because you're starting to visualize and beginning to play around with some of these hypnotic phenomena just a little bit. Okay. Now just look at that image that you've made of yourself. Okay. And again, some people visualize better than others, and just knowing that whatever this image is of you, and maybe for some of you it's easier to feel that this image is there. For some of you, maybe it's a sound thing or a vibratory thing. Okay, but just have, there it is in front of you. And notice how this person, this image of yourself, is sitting or standing or lying down, whatever they're doing. Now notice some details about their face. Notice the expression. Notice the posture. Notice the way their shoulders are. the way their body might be. If there's any obvious movement or muscular tension or anything else that you see in this person, this image of yourself. Now, take this image and let it relax. Just by watching that image, change it in whatever way denotes a growing relaxation. Maybe the expression on its face. Maybe the way the muscles relax, or the postures change. Notice how the breathing might deepen or slow. And if there's something you'd like to have this image of yourself doing to help it relax, maybe it's slipping into a hot bubbling jacuzzi. Maybe it's lying in the sun on a summer day. Whatever it is you'd like to have this image of yourself do to relax, just watch it do whatever helps it to relax even further. And again, continue to watch changes in the expression on the face of this image. Notice how facial muscles may relax and soften and change. Notice how posture may change. Notice if the eyes are open or closed. Notice how the breathing changes. And as you've been watching this image of yourself drifting into a deep, comfortable relaxation, doing whatever it is you've given this image to do, and check in with your own actual body just for a minute. And notice how your own state, not just the state of the image you've been watching, but your own state may have changed. Has your own breathing changed? How has your musculature changed? Has it relaxed and softened? How do you think your own expression might be right now? And when you're ready, just say thank you to that image you've made of yourself. And take a deep breath and absorb it all back into you. And then, in whatever time it takes, just allow yourself to come back up to full wakefulness, keeping whatever parts of this relaxation are comfortable and useful and pleasant for you, so that as you open your eyes or do whatever you need to do to come back up to full awareness, feeling refreshed and alert, you can make all the good parts of this pleasant for you. And just remember and note how watching an image of yourself can change your consciousness using the mirror neuron system. So enjoy, and that's it for MetaMagic podcast number 2, and I hope you'll come back and check us out soon, and there'll be more podcasts up and more information on the website. Enjoy.